Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. And one of the things that made this nation great was the ability of people from all walks of life, from every background, from every country in the world to come to the United States legally and to work their way up to partake in the American dream. But increasingly, we've been sending out the message, and it is infuriating to literally millions and millions of people, that there is only one way to get ahead, and that is to go to college, get a four-year college degree, and other than that, you're flat out of luck. Well, not so fast, says Dr. Catherine Newman. She is the provost of the University of Massachusetts Amherst, and she is the co-author of a new book called Reskilling America, Learning to Labor in the 21st Century. Dr. Newman, thanks very much for making time for us.
Thank you for letting me join you.
Well, it's a pleasure. You've written a lot of your work. You've done 12 previous books, is that right?
Yes.
And most of your books have been about the struggles of what we would describe as the working class or the lower middle class or people who are skilled laborers or not so skilled laborers. Would that be right?
Yes, I've been interested in people who are, we would characterize as working people in the U.S., whether they're working poor or people who are working as executives and managers and everything in between.
Okay, so right now there is a sense, and I know you confirm this in your book, Reskilling America. It's posted up at our website at michaelmedved.com. That it's harder than ever for people to work their way up the ladder if they are not in executive suites, if they do not have college degrees. And you actually concentrate on one means of lifting this impediment and creating a greater ability to advance, one means above all, which has to do with education. What do we need to do?
We have for a very long time in the U.S. assumed that one size fits all and that what we should do is encourage everyone to come to a four-year university. And while that is a noble goal and an important goal and absolutely the right thing for a large number of our young people, we have left on the sidelines a kind of education that has been very popular in other countries, especially in Germany and Switzerland and other countries with, and Austria, with very robust training programs for young people who want to go into fields like advanced manufacturing where they need technical training. We used to have a robust investment in this form of education. We used to call it vocational education. And there are some schools, high schools, and many community colleges that continue to express an interest and investment of this sort. But it's a pale comparison to what our competitors overseas are doing. And it's a weak system compared to what we need if we're going to be a dominant power, especially in advanced manufacturing, but also in healthcare, in information technology, in all the new fields where technical training rather than a four-year college degree is what our workers really need.
I know that in your book, the book again is called Reskilling America, and it's posted at our website at michaelmedved.com. In your book, you make clear that most major cities in the country at one time had vocational training high schools, whole high schools that were devoted to the industrial arts. I remember in Los Angeles, where I went to high school, they had manual arts high school, and I don't believe it functions anymore. What happened to all those schools?
After the Second World War and really increasing or accelerating in the 1960s and thereafter, we started disinvesting in programs like that. And we invested much more in the model that was going to send everyone into the white-collar and managerial occupations, and that usually spelled a four-year college degree. And we started cutting back on these technical training programs, and that went alongside with the view that somehow blue-collar work or skilled manual trades weren't really the goal that young people should have, that we didn't have as much respect for that kind of work as we once did, that we were going to somehow leave that to other people. And instead what we did was dismantle a training system that once produced an incredibly productive and skilled labor force. We really were the absolute envy of the world. And instead, we emphasized mainly the white-collar occupations, and we let other countries take over that technical side. But today, we really need that work. We need those workers, and they have to be much more skilled than they were in earlier generations.
Yeah, this is such an important point, and it's something we actually have talked about on this show for years and years and years, and your book has a great deal of background and a great deal of information behind these same arguments. You talk, for instance, about apprenticeship programs in Germany and other countries. Explain how that works and how that could be adopted to the United States.
In Germany, about 55% of teenagers enter what's called the dual education system. This means that they spend a certain number of days every week in their high schools learning mathematics, physics, and other elements that are important for technical training. And another big chunk of their week is spent on the shop floor in firms that they are apprenticed to. And there they're being instructed by master teachers who have had many decades of experience working in the steel mills or in the auto production companies, but decide that they want to become teachers inside those firms. So they distribute teaching labor in many different places, including on the shop floor. And the students move back and forth between highly funded and very, very well-equipped vocational schools and firms that have the latest equipment and technologies, because they would go out of business if they didn't. And that is what 55% of German teenagers do in their high school years. And that means that
they get paid during this, don't they?
Yes,
don't they get paid something?
These are paid apprentices, and they earn somewhere in the neighborhood of $1,200 to $1,600 a month while they are working as apprentices. And in their first year, they really don't produce very much that's of value for their companies. But starting in the second year, they really do. So this is an investment for the company in a very skilled workforce that is producing even when they're in the training mode. But when they finish, and they're usually about 19 by the time they finish, the vast majority of those young people will be hired by the firms where they were apprenticed. They will also have completed very demanding national examinations in 350 occupations, because they can't get the qualifications they're working for unless they pass these very, very difficult tests, which their master teachers in their companies are training them for. So they have to complete their curriculum, they have to finish their apprenticeship, they have to pass these exams, and they are being paid all along to do that. And when they finish, they have jobs waiting for them that usually pay them somewhere in the neighborhood of three times as much as what they were earning as apprentices.
We're speaking with sociologist Catherine Newman. She is the provost of the University of Massachusetts. Let's go to Thomas in St. Paul, Minnesota. Thomas, you're on the Michael Medved Show with Dr. Newman.
I am a 1966 graduate of Don Bosco Technical High School in Paterson, New Jersey. I went on to, Michael, your favorite university in Wisconsin, and became a shop teacher. But it became obvious after the first year that the geniuses that run education want nothing to do with shop. So I wound up in special ed, and then the last 32 years of teaching, I was a teacher of the blind. Most of the guys I went to high school with did not wind up in the trades of the shops that they were in. I was in print shop. I spent the first year setting type by hand. Now I see California job cases. In antique shops. But that's not the important thing. As we speak, I'm actually in San Antonio, Texas, building a house, a retirement home for my wife and I. And when I say building it, I am physically building it. The only thing I can't do is air conditioning and heating. The rest of it I can do. The city won't let me, but that's okay. You know, I hired trades guys to do that.
Okay, Thomas, stay with us. I want you to finish your point. But if you look at his career, teaching shop, Whatever happened to that? And wouldn't going back to that do more to actually create jobs and create a way up and forward for the American working class than what a lot of the candidates are talking about? Let's get to that and more coming up on the MedVed Show.
1-800-955-1776. The Michael MedVed Show.
Well, just when you thought it couldn't get any better, MyPillow is launching the MyPillow 2.0. Back when MyPillow was invented, it had everything you could want in a pillow. Now, nearly two decades later, they've discovered a new technology that makes MyPillow even better. The MyPillow 2.0 has the patented adjustable fill of the original MyPillow, and now with brand new fabric that is made with a temperature-regulating thread. The MyPillow 2.0 is the softest, smoothest, and coolest pillow you'll ever own. Say goodbye to tossing and turning and flipping your pillow over in the middle of the night, and more great news on the MyPillow 2.0, buy one, get one free with promo code MEDVED. MyPillow 2.0 with its temperature regulating technology is 100% made in the USA and comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Just go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio podcast square to receive the MyPillow 2.0 buy one, get one free offer. Just when you thought MyPillow couldn't get any better, MyPillow 2.0 gives you the best pillow ever. Enter promo code MEDVED at MyPillow.com to get your MyPillow 2.0s today.
Instability, vulnerability, uncertainty, volatility, precarious, unpredictable. Now, all of those words describe our banking system right now, as evidenced by the recent collapse of major banks. Michael MedVed here for AmFed Coin and Bullion. This was the second largest bank failure in history, and the Federal Reserve has been scrambling to keep this bank run from spreading. Now, if you feel uneasy about having too much money sitting in the bank, you're not alone. Gold, silver, and platinum have had recent gains as investors look for safe places to park their money. Now more than ever, you need to call my good friends Nick Grovich and Company, owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion. I've been doing business with Nick for many years, and I wouldn't go anywhere else. Nick and his team of specialists will provide you with personalized attention, honest information, and sound advice. If you're interested in buying or selling, call AmFed Coin and Bullion, 800-221-7694, 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay Heating Pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay Heating Pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
On the Michael MedVed Show, it is 21 minutes after the hour. We're honored to be joined by the provost of the University of Massachusetts Amherst, Professor Catherine Newman. She's co-author of an important new book called Reskilling America. We're also joined by Thomas in St. Paul, Minnesota. He is a longtime vocational teacher, graduate of a vocational High School, who's now building a home for himself in San Antonio, Texas. And Thomas, I take it from your previous comments that at one point or another you were teaching at University of Wisconsin Stout or University of Wisconsin Menominee.
No, Michael, I went there and I became an industrial arts teacher. Okay, and then what happened was industrial arts, the geniuses that run education, they wanted nothing to do with industrial arts, so I went into special ed. I actually taught special ed for 36 years. And I worked with I taught blind kids for 32 years.
Well, okay, thank you, Thomas. Thank you for your wonderful service on that. If we can get a response from Dr. Newman and what you were saying about how they've dismantled vocational ed.
So let me just say that Michael's experience is repeated all over the country as we disinvested in the kind of education that he was aiming to provide for our young people. But I do think this is starting to come back now. At least that's what we try to document in the book. Not as robustly as other countries, but it's starting to come back because I think we recognize belatedly that this was very valuable and we dismantled it and we left very few alternatives for the millions of young people who were anxious to have this kind of education. Now, when we look at the form it takes today, we are seeing a very high-powered form of this kind of vocational education. So today we've got young people who are learning how to use numerical control machines. They're learning to use high-speed lathes. They are developing the sorts of skills that you need in mechatronics. These are all very highly skilled forms of mechanical or industrial education, and our industries will not be able to compete if we don't have workers who know how to do this stuff. And so that's what the modern form, the contemporary form of vocational education looks like, at least in our competitor countries. A lot of this moved eventually into the community colleges, and so we're starting to see more emphasis on technical training of this kind in community colleges. But in neither place, neither in high schools nor in community colleges, have we supported these programs with the kind of investments needed to make them as strong and as sort of up-to-date as they really need to be. So
we've got a long way to go, but
we're headed back in the direction that Michael was located in.
Thomas in St. Paul.
Pardon.
I'm Michael. But that's quite all right. Dr. Newman, let me just try something out on you, because one of the problems that every educator knows about American life is we still, despite tremendous improvements and tremendous efforts, about one out of five Americans doesn't graduate from high school. And don't you believe that the withdrawal and removal of shop classes, of industrial arts, of vocational training in high school has made it more difficult, in a sense, to keep kids in high school who may not be aiming at a four-year college?
Really agree with you about that. We sort of let go of a whole dimension of experience in high school that was very important to a large number of our young people, and we didn't put anything back in its place. There's one other point I'd like to make, because it's consonant with what Thomas was talking about and when he said that a lot of people didn't end up in the trades for which they were training. That's very true, but that's not a problem. That's not a mistake. One of the things we found in studying the vocational high schools was that students there had a better experience of being in high school. Whether they went into the trades they were training for or not, the experience of high school was more positive because their teachers treated them with greater respect, because they saw themselves in adult eyes, because they were preparing for something they thought was practical and valuable. And that is a very different experience than what a lot of kids have in general high schools with no focus of this kind. So lots of the people that I followed around for years for this book didn't end up in the trades for which they were training, but they ended up somewhere else that was a benefit to them because the passage through high school itself was a positive experience. So they didn't drop out. Some of them went on to become engineers, or they went on to become train locomotive engineers, or whatever. It didn't matter. it was the experience of high school itself that was focused, it was positive, and they came away with a good feeling about themselves, which helped to launch them into whatever career they chose.
Let's go directly to Matt in Tucson, Arizona. You're on the Michael Medved Show with Dr. Catherine Newman.
Newman, Michael, I have eight sons, so I think about this topic all the time. And I can't help but note that Bernie Sanders says free college for all. He never says free trade school for all. Have you noticed that?
Yeah. No, you're exactly right, because Bernie, as a graduate of University of Chicago, Bernie kind of values college, but I don't think he values vocational education.
No, and he clearly doesn't. There's a very dismissive attitude, I think. And that's not just Bernie. That's a whole subset of our population, frankly, at that level, that stratospheric level, that doesn't realize that, again, as Mike Rowe has been saying for years, there are people who actually make society go because they know how to do things. At that, and I would have, in fact, I've encouraged my sons to look at the trades, the skilled trades, because those can't be outsourced to India, for example. They're fairly resistant to the economy. I will pay the guy who pumps out my septic no matter how the economy's doing because I need him to do it at that way. And those jobs are worthy of respect, and it's really unfortunate that our presidential candidates don't give them that respect.
A quick response, Dr. Newman?
Yeah, I just want to say that I agree with Matt. I think we need to focus in both directions. I mean, as someone who's been in higher education for almost my entire career, I would never want to say that supporting students in the universities and community colleges is a bad thing, but I think it's one-dimensional, and we really do have to not only rekindle respect, but support materially, financially, the kind of training that some of his eight sons may want if that's the direction they're going to go. And it isn't just because that's a good thing for them. The country needs this. We will not be able to compete internationally if we don't.
Because this is one of the eye-opening things about your book, and the book is called Reskilling America. It's a very, very important book, and it's posted on our website at michaelmedved.com. Is one of the reasons that we're losing our manufacturing base is not just because there are other nations that are undercutting us. Those other nations are providing a better prepared workforce, which never used to happen, right?
That is true, especially now when we look at how, for example, the Germans have commanded the advanced manufacturing industries. I mean, when we ask who's rebuilding China, who is putting in the railroads and the manufacturing facilities in China, it's mostly the Germans, and it's the Germans because they have an enormous investment in this high-quality technical training.
Let's take a look at the book, Reskilling America. It's posted on our website, michaelmedved.com. More about dangerous trends in the culture coming up.
Michael Medved. Become a MedHead member today.
Michael, my wife and I are MedHead members, and we've listened to you for a year.
Commercial-free podcasts, commentaries, find out more at michaelmedved.com.
It's easy to see. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. We all know something big is coming, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming more self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. My Patriot Supply is the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, and they make it easy for you to prepare. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells large solar generators, gravity-powered water filtration systems, heirloom seeds for your garden, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your items will ship that same day. Time is short. Prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
You USA News Update. The House Intelligence Committee has raised concerns about a significant national security risk reportedly linked to advancing Russian space technology. Ohio Republican Mike Turner said his committee has shared details about the threat with fellow members of Congress. He's urging President Biden to declassify the information to facilitate open discussions among Congress and allies regarding necessary response measures. Once again, U.S. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin is back out of a hospital. The Pentagon says Austin is in good condition following his admission to Walter Reed National Military Hospital Sunday for a bladder issue. Austin has taken back his duties now from Deputy Defense Secretary Kathleen Hicks. The Northeast cleaning up after a nor'easter hit the region with heavy snow on Tuesday. At least one person in Pennsylvania was killed when his snowmobile hit a downed wire. Travel was snarled along the 95 corridor. John Schaefer, USA News.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire fireplace grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from wallofire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Wallofire.com.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Is this outrageous what you are saying?
Michael Medved.
This is outrageous.
And on the Michael Medved Show, it is 34 minutes after the hour. No, it's not outrageous to say that one of the biggest mistakes of the left in American life has been to focus all of education on four-year college education and to set up this idea that any kid who doesn't get a four-year college degree should feel that he or she is a failure. One of the important points about the new book, Reskilling America, is that Catherine Newman makes the case that this is one of the reasons that American manufacturing has had such a difficult time competing. Because in other countries, in Norway and in Germany and the Netherlands, even in places like India, they provide abundant vocational training to prepare people for factory jobs, which often are skilled jobs, require a skilled workforce, require the ability of people to do things. And she, of course, is completely correct that you cannot outsource a job of a plumber. I mean, fine, you can call somebody in Calcutta at a call center, but that individual is not going to be able to fix your pipes or repair your leaks. Let's go to Bart in Belfair, Texas. Bart, you're on the Michael Medved Show.
Hi, yes. I just wanted to say how much I appreciate Dr. Newman being on the air, and I think she's right on about apprenticeships. I've been in schools for 25 years, public schools, and unfortunately most of those programs, the good vocational programs, are gone. And I'm guessing that most districts would not be able to come up with the funds to buy the tools and equipment and, you know, technology to restock those things. So public-private partnerships are probably the way to go to sort of reintroduce that into our schooling, work-study, things of that nature.
Well, that's exactly what they do in Germany, and I think you're entirely right, is this is one area. Generally, public-private partnerships are very difficult, but this is one area where it's a natural. Because, look, local companies would rather hire the boy next door if he were properly trained. So they have a stake in this. Appreciate your call. Jerry in Galveston, Texas, you're on the Michael Medved Show.
Hey, how you doing today, Mike?
I'm doing great.
Everything's all right. I am Thomas and Matt. When they was talking, I said they're telling my story. But, you know, teaching came up in the trades. My dad's a mechanic and a teacher, and I was a teaching mechanic, auto mechanic, master tech, this and that. I trained a lot of people to do it. But to the lady that's writing, that wrote the book, we couldn't make up classes. We couldn't get enough interest in vocational. And when I'm talking about, Mike, I'm talking about plumbers, mechanics, people who fix trucks, cars. They're going to always be cars. There's going to always
And people will make a good living today, right? You can do pretty well with that kind of work, right?
Yeah, pretty well. You can do very well, but it's physical work. And something happened to the students. They, even my own kids, they won't. I got a business and I can't get my own kids to work. I don't know what to say, man. I said, what y'all think you're going to do? There's nothing wrong with working. What's really going on? But I will say this and I'll get off. We couldn't make up classes. There wasn't enough interest in the high schools to even put a class together. Thank you. Y'all have a nice day.
Well, I think that's exactly right, and it's something that Professor Newman alludes to in her book, and she did in our conversation, which is we need to have more respect, more appreciation for this kind of work. Dan in Orange County, California. Dan, you're on the Michael Medved Show.
Michael, about 13, 14 years ago, when my son entered junior high, the local junior high in Fullerton, they canceled all of the shop classes and sold off all the equipment and made computer labs out of the area. And when I protested to the principal about this, he said their hands were tied because the insurance rates were so high for shop classes that the district could no longer support it. And it was a damn shame because for my son, he would have been an excellent candidate for learning some kind of a skill. And of course, the high school didn't offer it either. I think I do sense a lot of what your previous caller was talking about. Kids don't want to do hard labor or any kind of a physical labor anymore. But my son loved it and would have been an excellent candidate.
Yeah, it's a chicken and egg thing. It's not just that the kids don't want to do it. It's how can they want to do something that isn't offered. I appreciate your call. Right now we're talking about hitting the road toward more respect for and emphasis on vocational education as a way of not only providing a better focus for people to stay in high school and actually graduate with high school with some kind of useful training, but also a way of rehabilitating the American manufacturing sector. Why should other countries do a better job in training a skilled workforce than we do? 1-800-955-1776. Mark in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. You're on the Medved Show.
Hey, Mike. I love your show. Just wanted to point out I'm in the heavy-duty truck field and the sales end of things. And here in PA, where we've seen coal and oil and gas fluctuate, it's been kind of sad with regulations because that's where the high-paying vocational jobs, welders, for example, can make an extreme amount of money in those kind of fields, and when those jobs are taken away, it makes vocational fields less attractive. So it's real important that we try to vote for somebody that's going to kind of lift some of those restrictions to bring those jobs back.
Well, that's exactly right. Less government, not more, as a formula for reinvigorating the whole economy. Appreciate your call and your perspective. Carlos in Carson, California, you're on the Medved Show.
Yeah, Mike, I agree that more emphasis should be placed on vocational schools. They're becoming more and more fragmented, especially with a high cost of education. Well, but one observation that I've made as far as colleges, they're inundated with foreign students who I talked to several foreign students, and they say that they get a cut in fees, in tuition. And I mean, these students get a degree, then they get a job here. Some of them go back to the countries, and that's really doing a disservice to our American workers here. I think you're absolutely right.
Look, it's one of those things I cannot understand. Now, look, with private universities, if they're using private funds to try to attract foreign students because they think it increases their prestige or the diversity of their student body, okay. But for public universities to use public money for foreign students ahead of American students who want desperately to get in, I think it's just wrong. I don't understand it. I agree with you.
This is the Michael Medved Show. Now it's time for Medved's Entertainment Minute.
Jim and Tammy Faye Baker became multimillionaire televangelists in the 1970s before a scandal brought their world crashing down. And now Jessica Chastain and Andrew Garfield play this dynamic and divisive duo in a lurid retelling of their rise and fall called The Eyes of Tammy Faye, now playing in theaters.
Anyone who's hurting or they feel like they've been left out, God has a plan for us.
What'd he tell you to do this time?
She's a firecracker, Jim.
We're not doing anything wrong, though.
Is that a question?
Well, the movie's point of view, which is relentlessly hostile to Christian conservatives, answers that question by suggesting they did everything wrong. Elaborate makeup and performances that verge on overacting leave you wondering how anyone could have ever followed this hypocritical couple. This is one-dimensional soap opera that inspires more pity than horror and leaves out large chunks of the story. Rated PG-13, 2 stars for The Eyes of Tammy Faye.
This is Michael Medved at michaelmedved.com for Town Hall. A study at England's University of Sussex warns those who snack while watching television or playing video games are more likely to overeat, greatly increasing risks of obesity. You're less likely to be able to tell how full you feel, Professor Martin Yeomans explained. You're more likely to keep snacking. This is important for anyone wanting to stay a healthy weight. Well, the conclusions of the study might seem obvious, but still convey an important message about the hours we lavish on screens, including our obsession with social media. Few people feel satisfied after just a few minutes of screen time. Social and entertainment media are deliberately designed to encourage you to keep watching, to keep clicking, to always yearn for more. Nothing in our screen engagement promotes feelings of contentment or fullness. Perpetual hunger characterizes most addictions, including our often thoughtless indulgence in all forms of media diversion. I'm Michael Med. Why be held back by pain and difficulty and soreness and stiffness when Relief Factor is available and available so readily? You have nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. It's just $19.95 for a 3-week quick start, which can reduce the inflammation, it can reduce the pain, it can reduce the soreness and stiffness and make you feel better. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, michaelmedved.com, find the banner for Relief Factor. If you're troubled by Washington moving toward more government control, income taxes, rent control, and centralized decision-making, now is the time for you to take action. At Washington Policy Center, we want free market reforms that make Washington the best place to raise a family, to get a job, or to start a business. WPC is nationally renowned for its effectiveness in an ideologically hostile state. Get off the sidelines. Become a member today at WashingtonPolicy.org. That's WashingtonPolicy.org. Some of America's most important principles, like freedom of conscience, speech, rule of law, sanctity and dignity of human life, the family, and economic freedom, are under contemporary assault. It's more important than ever to teach our nation's traditional values and timeless principles. Now, these sometimes forgotten values must be remembered and communicated, and the Institute for Faith and Freedom at Grove City College exists to accomplish just that. The Institute promotes these principles to the next generation of leaders on campus and across the country. Go to the website faithandfreedom.com and you'll find online courses on Ronald Reagan and James Madison, but above all, a vigorous defense of Western civilization and its highest values. Advocating for these timeless principles is why Grove City College continues to be a beacon in higher education. Go to faithandfreedom.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
And now, in the light of history.
We've got to teach history based not on what's in fashion, but what's important.
A look into the past for insight on the present, providing context for our current controversies.
We weren't just marking time. We made a difference.
Here's Michael.
This edition of our podcast series, In the Light of History, is entitled, More Evidence of the Founders' Enlightenment. And when I use the term enlightenment, I basically mean it as a defense against the claims you hear all the time today, that these were brutal, racist, horrible, cruel, genocidal people who hated Indians, who viewed black people as property, who did terrible, terrible things, and who don't deserve the high honor with which I think Americans instinctively hold the people of the founding generation. There is one particular law, which I mentioned last time, that was passed even before the Constitution was adopted. So how could a law possibly be passed before the Constitution is adopted? I'll tell you. Because they had state legislatures, and the states had come together in the midst of the revolutionary struggle to create the Articles of Confederation, which meant that the 13 colonies would become 13 states. They would work together, and they had a federal government, though it was very weak. It did not have the same kind of power that the federal government did under the Constitution. And one of the reasons the Articles of Confederation didn't function that well is because it was very hard to get anything done. Because you had 13 states ranging from very small states like Delaware, it was and still is a small state, to the big giant states that had many times the population. Virginia actually was the state with the highest population. And then Pennsylvania and Massachusetts were also considered big states. They had very different interests. You had states that were very opposed to slavery, that had already, long before the U.S. Constitution, banned slavery, not just the importation of slaves, but anything having to do with slavery. And then there were other states that were heavily reliant on slavery as part of the economy. But they got together for the Northwest Ordinance. And here's what happened, is when the Treaty of Paris was negotiated, and America and Britain negotiated peace in the Revolutionary War, and Britain accepted the independence of a new republic here in North America.
when that happened, there was a big chunk of land that lay beyond the Appalachian Mountains and that was being fought over by various states. Actually, even Connecticut had a claim. It was a pretty shabby claim because it's not contiguous. But Connecticut claimed part of what is today Ohio. Virginia claimed a lot. Pennsylvania claimed a lot. The state of New York claimed a lot. And they had to reach an agreement in the Confederation Congress about what they were going to do about this enormous amount of land that had been ceded by Great Britain as part of the peace treaty ending the Revolution. And originally, Thomas Jefferson had the idea that they should pass an ordinance to give this land in what was called the Northwest and to arrange it into 10 brand new states. And what's interesting is he even came up with the names that he wanted to use for those 10 new states. And the names of those states were Chironesus, Sylvania, Assinipia, Illinois, well, that came pretty close. It got to be Illinois. Metropotamia, Polypotamia, Pellissippen, Washington, well, later that name was used. Michigania, that, of course, was used. And Saratoga. Okay, so his 10 names didn't work, and the founders who were gathered in New York trying to negotiate this while they were having a new constitutional convention to revise the Articles of Confederation that was taking place in Philadelphia at pretty much the same time, they decided, okay, no, we're not going to have 10 different states, but we'll have 6. And the states later became Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, Wisconsin, Michigan, and a chunk of Minnesota, but they got the rest of Minnesota later with the Louisiana Purchase. That's another story. But there are three things that are really totally remarkable and so enlightened and so reassuring about what they put into the Northwest Ordinance. For instance, they put this down. The Northwest Ordinance said, religion, morality, and knowledge being necessary to good government and the happiness of mankind, schools and the means of education shall forever be encouraged. Now, this was remarkable because public schools were not a thing yet. Virtually all the schools in the country were private. They were either people who would set up a school and actually charge them tuition for it, or they would be religious in their nature. But a public school sponsored by the government, that was a new thing. And one of the things that they called for in the Northwest Ordinance was founding a university that originally would be Northwest University, because that was called the Northwest, but didn't become Northwestern. It later became Ohio University. And, okay, that's one thing. Then a second thing was the prohibition of slavery, which is bold, and actually, because this is going to become 6 new states, it virtually assured that freedom would spread faster than slavery. The Northwest Ordinance declared, there shall be neither slavery nor involuntary servitude in the said territory, otherwise than in the punishment of crimes whereof the party shall have been duly convicted. In other words, they said, yes, you could go to prison and you could be made to work. They also had in there, they would allow for fugitive slave laws. They did not want the new states to be havens for runaway slaves. Because of course, that was part of what they needed to put into the law, that they would recognize the ability of masters, so-called, to actually retrieve their runaway slaves. But that was a compromise they needed, because they needed all 13 states, remember. They needed all the states to agree, to vote unanimously on the ordinance. And it's amazing that they agreed on this part that forever banned slavery from this territory. And then there's this about relationship with the Indians. They said in Article 3 of the Northwest Ordinance, yet most good faith shall always be observed towards the Indians. Their lands and property shall never be taken from them without their consent, and in their property, rights, and liberty, they shall never be invaded or disturbed unless in just and lawful wars authorized by Congress. But laws founded in justice and humanity shall from time to time be made for preventing wrongs being done to them and for preserving peace and friendship with them. Now, did all of these states follow those sentiments precisely? No, of course not. Indians were cheated in treaties. White people broke treaties frequently. By the way, so did Indians. But the fact that our founders in 1787 actually declared in such clear language the idea that, no, there was no attempted genocide to wipe out or destroy the Indians or destroy their civilization, there truly was a desire that was ratified by all 13 states in the Confederation Congress, that there should be decent treatment, fair treatment, and honorable dealing with the indigenous people, with the Native Americans who lived in that Great Lakes region. Again, there's another whole history as to what actually happened, but it was very, very far from the genocidal, basically cruel, barbaric policy that people have alleged was part of American history. I wish people learned more about the Northwest Ordinance because it's so forward-looking and so enlightened. It was largely the work of a clergyman in politics named Manasseh Cutler, who eventually came out to Ohio with his family and helped to actually found the first major settlement in Ohio, Marietta, Ohio. And that's actually the story in quite a wonderful book by David McCullough called The Pioneers. But that is another story not contained in this edition of our In Light of History podcast on The Medved Show.
This has been The Michael Medved Show. We hope you enjoyed that sneak peek of one of our In Light of History episodes, available exclusively to Medhead members. Go to michaelmedved.com, sign up as a Medhead today. Lots more In Light of History podcasts available. Thank you so much for listening in this greatest nation on God's green earth.
Hey, old man. Yeah, you, baby boomer. Are you feeling tired, run down, old, have aches and pains? Do you have a lack of energy that you once had in your youth? Carbon 60 is a new technology to help you restore your youth. Now, this is not hype or a gimmick. You see, Carbon 60 detoxifies you at the cellular level. It stabilizes free radicals, just like the antioxidants found in red wine and berries do, but on a far smaller, more bioavailable nanoscale. The results reported with energy, health, and vitality are nothing short of miraculous. In short order, you'll notice a difference in a few days. It's not a drug, it's carbon. Give us a call at Greska's Carbon 60 at 720-600-6040 or visit our site at c-60.com. Call 720-600-6040 and feel young again.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.